This is Alex. Here's.
What's up, Alex? Yeah, I hear you.
Okay. Let's start with the interview.
Okay.
So, Freddy, For the Cause is about to come out on June 15 on Nuclear Blast Records, and that's the main reason to do this interview now. We had already a chance to hear it already, and I must say it's like really, really strong record. Definitely a next level record for Madball, in my opinion. Then I already heard Hoya Rock saying that this is the record that he's most excited about lately and in his career. What do you think is the difference between this record and all the other Madball records, in your opinion?
Well, firstly, thank you, Alex, because I value your opinion. I know you've been around a long time and you know us personally, so that means a lot. I know you're an honest guy. To be honest, I agree with Hoya. I'm excited just because I think we did some things that were a little bit different on this one. I mean, it's still Madball. It's always going to be, everything we do is always going to have the Madball stamp on it, because at the end of the day, Madball is a New York hardcore band. But we also are evolving, you know, and growing. And the music has to grow, and the whole genre, the whole culture is growing and evolving. So, you know, we try to do it in the most tasteful way possible. But this one is the most diverse Madball record we've done, in my opinion. So that's why I think we're all excited for it to come out, because it's still very much Madball, but it's got a lot of different little elements that we haven't tried before. So, yeah.
И така, в новия албум на Madball групата прави неща, каквито не е опитвала преди това. И именно поради тази причина можем спокойно да кажем, че For The Cause е наистина по-различен от предишните албуми. Ние винаги ще носим печата Madball, колкото и музиката да се развива и да расте. Сцената също и културата също се променят и израстват, защото след като интервюто започна с взаимни приветствия, Александър каза, че според него този албум наистина е следващото ниво за Madball, а Фреди подчерта, че е благодарен, защото добре знае, че ти, Сашо, си в играта от много години и винаги си бил честен и откровен. Само ми припомни какво каза той за Хоя.
Това, което казах аз за Хоя, е, че вече няколко пъти го чух да казва, че никога не е бил по-развълнуван за нов албум на Madball, както е сега.
Да, и всъщност, след което Фреди обясни всичките тези неща, но хайде, моля те, попитай го какво всъщност наложи този албум да бъде и толкова разнообразен.
What do you think is the main reason for this record to be so diverse?
Well, I mean, you know, to be honest with you, we should have diversified a long time ago. But we always had this thing where, like, hey, you know, people are expecting to hear a certain thing from Madball, so we have to deliver. And we still feel that way. We still want to make the people that have been supporting us, we still want to make them feel proud, and we want to make them feel, like, validated. But at the same time, we don't want to become boring or stale or stagnant. You know, so it in the last couple of records, we've been pushing to try and, you know, keep it fresh and do some different things, but still keep it who we are, you know, and that this is just another step in that direction, man. You know, it's like we gotta please the people, but we also gotta think about how we're gonna feel good moving forward about it, you know, like, so we had songs that we could have tried on the last album that we probably did, that we took a chance more on this one, you know, and it's not even that crazy off the grid, really.
Yeah.
But it's different for us, you know. It still makes sense, you know.
Ще се опитам да преведа тази част малко по-набързо, но всъщност наистина е интересно това, което каза Фреди. Този албум, причината наистина да се опитваме да го направим по-различен е, защото, както казахме, искаме да се развиваме, но в същото време пък винаги сме знаели, че много наши фенове обичат да знаят какво могат да очакват от нас и ние им го даваме. Но в последните, в предишните два албума започнахме да пробваме някакви неща, не толкова мащабни промени, защото така както искаме да доставим удоволствие на тези наши супер верни фенове и последователи, все пак е важно и ние как се чувстваме, а пък не искаме да се превърнем в едни отексителни и скучни хора, които правят едно и също. Така че всъщност добре казано, нали?
Абсолютно, много добре казано, накратко.
Следващия въпрос сега моля на английски директно, да не губим време.
Yeah, yeah. I think apart from the obvious top production, of course, all the great songs you have there, there are two, in my opinion, there are two major power points in this new album. First, for me, guitars being recorded by one and only Matt Henderson, who is without a doubt one of the most influential guitar players in the history of new hardcore music. And second, having Tim Armstrong from Rancid as a producer.
Чекай, не се да подпира и на микрофона, може.
Yeah, and it's not hard to guess, since Matt has been such a monumental part of the band for so many years. Getting him back in the studio to record in Madball is kind of a natural and logical move in your situation. But way more interesting fact is that while your label is probably the biggest metal label in the world right now, I'm talking about Nuclear Blast Records.
Biggest and, independent label.
Yeah, but still biggest in the metal world. And overall being a hardcore band that always has been getting recognition by the metal community in general. Yet you choose to work with Tim Armstrong as a producer who happened to be one of the biggest and greatest punk rock in the ranks, you know, one of the biggest punk rock bands. So And we love Rancid too, but it's just interesting combination. And then you have Stu Madsen for the mixing process, who is known of his work with bands like Meshuggah and Ectomorph and many others more, so in the extreme metal spectrum. So how did you choose working exactly with these different kind of people?
Well, and why not you?
I think it chose us, if I'm being completely honest, because Tua has been hitting us for years. Talking about working with us, especially Hoya, because they speak on Facebook or yeah, whatever it is. I'm not on there. So they've been talking for years about Madball maybe doing something with Tua, you know, and it was talked about, and he really respects the band and really has been wanting to work with us. And so he's always been like kind of on the wings. And when it came down to finding somebody to mix the record, it just made complete sense. It's like, you know, the record had a certain style to it, but let's get Tua to add his flavor into the mixing element and the mastering element and sort of balance things out. And the Tim Armstrong thing really just came about because, I mean, we're old friends and we met up in London for lunch, and we needed a studio to record in, and he said, hey, I got just the place for you guys. You're always welcome. And so that's how it started. He basically just provided a studio for us, and then naturally he became co-producer because he was going to be there anyway, you know. So it's just kind of like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
But you know, he didn't change the dynamic of what we were going to put out. I mean, because the songs we were already writing them, you know. It's, he didn't write the music with us, but definitely having him around and having him listen to stuff and, you know, and help out with tempos and, you know, little things like that. I mean, it was helpful. It was good. It was good to have someone with his experience just sitting around. But he's also connected to the hardcore scene because he's been following our band for years. He's been coming to our shows for years. And that's just the thing. It's like punk, metal. Yeah, they're all separate genres. And we're, no matter what we sound like, we're always going to be a New York hardcore band, whether people like it or not. You know, but the reality is a lot of us are interconnected as well. You know, there's a lot of relationships in from the hardcore to the punk to the oi world to the metal world, you know, and we're all sort of cousins in a way, even though everyone's sort of in some areas very different. In some areas everyone is sort of related, you know, so more so than people realize. And I think maybe we're one of those few bands that appeal to both, because not everybody appeals to both, you know. Yeah. So we're pretty lucky in that way. We're lucky to be on one of the biggest heavy music labels because they can at least get our music out to everyone. And, you know, we have these relationships which I think only bring Madball to another level, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing. This is Vasil.
Yeah, we're all cousins. Всички ние сме братовчеди в една или друга степен, говорейки за връзките между пънк, хардкор, метал, ой. Всъщност въпросът беше адски дълъг, нали? Пита го как така са работили и с Тим Армстронг като копродуцент на албума. Естествено, ролята на Ту Мадсен, а пък другото, което според теб е много важно и определящо за този албум са китарите на ненадминатия Мат Хендерсън.
Да, завръщането на Мат Хендерсън в студиото с Madball, тъй като това е някакъв дълго очакван момент, откакто го обявиха. И това, което каза ти, да, Тим Армстронг от една от най-големите пънк-рок групи в света, Rancid.
Любимите ни Rancid.
Да, заедно пък с Ту Мадсен, който е известен в метал света като един от един топ продуцент, да го кажем така.
И съответно, неговото Ant Farm Studios в Дания.
Да, работил с Мешуга и много други групи. И съответно,
те си говорили с Хоя в Фейсбук. Хоя там, или както там го наричат, каза...
Да,
защото аз нямам такова нещо, каза Фреди.
Да, през годините Хоя поддържал контакт с Ту Мадсен и Ту Мадсен винаги искал да работи с тях. Всъщност Ту Мадсен е работил и с други хардкор групи. Мисля, че една от първите, с които той направи големи албуми, беше Sick of It All на времето за Major Level дебюта им, ако не се лъжа. Но се върнем към Madball. Всички тези фактори комбинирали с факта, че са на един от най-големите метал лейбъли в света, или както ти ме поправи, един от най-големите, по-скоро най-големият независим все още метал лейбъл в света. Как се стигна до този микс на хора от различни
серии, различни светове на практика.
Да, това беше моят въпрос.
Да, и тъй, той каза всъщност, тук поясни, че се познават естествено с Тим Армстронг от години. Излезли са да хапнат в Лондон. И всъщност той казва, бе, знаете ли, аз имам едно студио, където можете да записвате песните си. Той не е участвал в писането, е тук, там се е намесвал
за
идея на някое темпо, някоя идея и така нататък.
Което между другото може да се усети наистина в този нов албум, който ние вече с тебе сме слушали няколко пъти, поне в една-две песни, най-малкото има песен с негово участие.
Сега попитай го, моля ти се, дали отново снимките на групата, официалните снимки за представянето на албума, отново са направени от Randy Blythe от Lamb of God, както беше предишния път.
Hey, last time the guy from Lamb of God took your official band photos. Did he do it again?
No, he did not. That was Randy's a great guy, and Randy's a hardcore kid. Yeah. That's the funny thing that you're going to find, that you're going to realize that hardcore kids are infiltrating the world. they're everywhere. They're in the metal world, they're in the punk world, they're in the corporate world, they're in politics, they're in jails, they're in everywhere. Hardcore kids are everywhere, man.
Yeah.
And Randy, before he sang for one of the biggest metal bands in the world, was a hardcore punk kid. That's what he is. And so he's a big fan of Madball, Agnostic Front, and even, you know, all the old and newer generation bands. And he just took our picture because we were in the same place. We were in the same festival. And so he shot a pictures of us, and they came out great. So we used them. But it wasn't like, hey, let's get Randy from Lamb of God to take pictures of us so that the metal kids could buy our record. No, nothing we do is like that. It's contrived. Yeah. You know, we call that contrived. Like where people try too hard. And that's one thing a message I want to get out there to people. It's like, we weren't trying too hard to get all these people. It just happened that they're our friends and that they also want to work with us. So it works out. You know, Tim was my friend who said, hey, I got a studio for you. I'm not going to charge you a lot of money. Okay, great. And that helps us out.
Yeah.
And then, hey, all of a sudden, hey, I'll produce with you guys. I'm already here anyway. Oh, wonderful. So we get to work at a beautiful studio, and he's our friend, you know? All these things, these relationships came by very natural, very organically.
Yeah, the right people at the right time.
Whether it's metal, whether it's punk, whether it's hip hop, it doesn't matter. This is the thing that people have to understand is, like, you know, some people, they go out and they pay people to do this, and I'm gonna get this guy on my record, and I'm gonna pay him, and I'm gonna do this because I want to get the metal guys, and I'm gonna do that because I want to get the punk guys. That's not what we did. What we did was just do what we always do, and people came to us, and it just worked out, you know.
Yeah. Получава се водопад от думи. Всъщност най-важното нещо, което каза Фреди и тук, е: ние не сме на тегачи, просто при нас така се получава. Този път снимките не ни ги прави момчето от
момчето Рамби
от една от най-големите метал групи на света. Просто предишния път се случи да сме на същото място едновременно на един и същи фестивал. Той ни снима и се получи страхотно. Ние не използвахме това с идеята: хей, вижте, певеца на една от най-големите метал групи в света ни прави снимките, за да накараме пък метал феновете да си купуват нашия албум. Между другото, има такива хора, които го правят, плащат си, за да получават това допълнително подсилване. По същия начин, между другото, както стара и с Тим Армстронг, това, за което говорихме: ей, имам студио, елате. Той не ни взе пари, всъщност, каза Фреди, след което така или да се оказа вътре, каза: добре, искате ли и да продуцирам албума? Още по-добре стана. Ние не сме от тия, дето се бутаме. Просто се оказва, че имаме такива приятели, които обичат да работят с нас. Попитай го сега, моля те, обаче, дали от това, че много от белезите и характерните черти на това започнало преди толкова десетилетия и много сериозно хардкор движение, днес по някакъв начин се припокриват и може би дори, можем да кажем, са откраднати от модерните хипстърски вълни.
Yeah, another question from Basil. Do you feel offended by the infiltration of millions and millions of you know, hipsters and all sorts of like different type of
trying to look like you?
People trying to look like you and infiltrating the hardcore scene.
Well, you know, there's always going to be weird people coming in and out of the hardcore scene, even from the beginning. You know, in the beginning, you had bands like Anthrax that came in, and they never were really hardcore guys. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I know a lot of people listening to this probably love that band, but I'm going to be honest with you, like, they're not real deal. You know, like, they were a bunch of metalheads that they knew a couple of people from the scene. They came in, they used the symbol and whatever, and then they left and they never looked back, you know. So there's always going to be people infiltrating hardcore from early on till now.
Yeah, I heard.
You know, there's going to be corny people, you know, that come in and go, oh, hardcore street, hardcore's real, hardcore's cool, let me be a part of that. And then they're going to leave. And then there's the people that are going to stay because they want to be part of something that's real, that's authentic, that's honest, and that's all I gotta really focus on. You know, I can't really focus on the flash in the pan people, because that's gonna happen. That's gonna, you can't help that. You know, you're gonna get guys that, oh, they dress like whatever, or they look, they're into whatever. Oh, hardcore's cool. All right, I'll hang with that for a minute. Oh, it's not cool anymore. I'll hang over here. I mean, that happens in any world, in any genre, in any kind of thing. You know, it sucks for our scene because our scene is a little more underground and a little more rooted in like family values. So it's annoying, but it is what it is. You know.
Yeah, все пак е един въпрос от цялата шайка в Anthrax. Франки Бело ли е най-истинския хардкор пич?
So who's another question from Vasil, like talking about Anthrax, who's the realest of Anthrax, you know, Frankie Bello or anyone?
None of them. None of them.
Yeah. But anyway,
and you can tell him I said that, it's okay.
Yeah, I heard that they tried to copyright the new hardcore logo.
Yeah, they're corny. You know, it's like they weren't there from the very, very beginning, and they're not here now. You know, they just were there for a brief moment because they thought it was cool, and then they went somewhere else and they ascended and nobody is saying anything about success, because any band, there's nothing wrong with a band having success. It's got nothing to do with success or anything like that. It's just got to do with people misusing something that's authentic, you know?
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's not, I mean, I hope all the hardcore bands have success. I mean, we're the poorest of all the heavy guys, all the heavy music scene. So
yeah, the working class.
I wish success for everybody, you know, but it's so much about this element. It's just about people misusing things that they're not really believing in their heart, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Тук стара е изключително интересно. Не му е приятно това, че наистина има хора, които без да са част от хардкор духа и сърцето се опитват да се инфилтрират вътре, но това не е само днес с хипстерите, пък и какво можеш да направиш. Приемаш нещата такива, каквито са. След което, казвам, можете да ме цитирате. Anthrax не са готини пичове. Можете и
например,
да им,
Anthrax,
да. Можете да им кажете и на тях това. На въпроса, кой всъщност е готини от тях, Франки Бел, той каза не, нито един от тях. И всъщност, кажи ти, преразкажи историята, защото на мен ми е малко неудобно.
Всъщност, тази история аз съм чувал много отдавна, много от много различни хора от нью-йоркската сцена, нью-йоркската хардкор сцена, тъй като е имал един момент в историята на нью-йорк хардкор сцената и Anthrax, в който те са се опитвали да точно да се инфилтрират в тази сцена, защото е било прекалено кул за момента и така нататък. Но най-големият конфликт е възникнал, когато в един момент Anthrax или поне техният менеджмент са се опитали да запазят като тяхна собственост,
като
запазена марка, патент, прословутото New York Hardcore лого, това, което е с Higgs, NYHC. И оттам вече много хора от сцената, от тези стари хора от сцената, които са наясно с тази случка и тази
няма
ситуация,
да им простят това, очевидно. Да простят, това е като Джин Симънс, който се опита да запази металски знак. След малко, като свършим интервюто, ще му пратя по скайп нашата снимка с Джои Беладора тук в студиото преди няколко години. Но другото нещо, което всъщност Фреди каза, и не ме разбирайте погрешно, тук няма нищо общо с това, че това е една успешна метал група. Ето, ние сме вероятно най-големите бедняци от хеви музикантите на земята. Ти каза работническа класа, нали? Той ха-ха-ха-ха, да. И така нататък. Но продължи, виждам, че искаш да го питаш още нещо в тази тема.
Speaking about that, we can see a number of elements in today's modern culture, which originally came from the hardcore punk scene. Things that people don't realize nowadays, but like for example, like even stage diving is a 100% hardcore thing, which later became popular in the metal scene, and nowadays you can see it in even the hip-hop shows. And the term mosh and mosh pit, and all those sort of, you know, hardcore tribal dance thing that is now like a mainstream thing. And
you're 100% right, Alex. you're
usual.
Asking very good questions, and I'm not surprised, but.
Yeah, no, yeah, like also other so many other aspects that you know were very like distinctive elements of the hardcore culture, even the tattoos, which I remember I was a little kid in the late 80s when I saw for the first time. I didn't even know what is hardcore, but I saw in a metal magazine, I think it was Metal Hammer or something like this, in maybe 88 or 89, something like this. I saw a small article about New York Hardcore. I didn't know what is New York Hardcore. I couldn't read it because it was in German, but I saw pictures, two pictures. One it was Chromex, another one was Agnostic Front. And those guys were fully tattooed. And that was the first time I saw a band, musicians fully tattooed, people fully tattooed. And that was something very radical. Nowadays, 20, 30, 40 years later, you see everybody embracing this.
Now the guy from Maroon 5 looks like a hardcore guy.
Yeah.
You know? He sings some catchy, Maroon 5. He sings some very catchy music, don't get me wrong, but like, and now anyone can look like a hardcore guy. Sleeved and
neck tattoos, right? Everything. I don't say it's bad, but just interesting because That's my question, actually. Do you see yourself and your community as a trendsetter?
Yes. If I'm answering honestly, yes, because I didn't view it that way. I didn't normally care about it all that much. But now in 2018, at this stage in the game, when there's so much visibility through the internet, through everything else, you know, there's just so much access to so many things. It's exactly what you said, Alex. You start to see all these different things in popular culture that you look back and you go, wait a minute, you know, that was kind of from our world, you know? Like, we didn't invent tattoos. You know, sailors had them, tribes had them from different parts of the world. Tribes had them from different parts of the world. You know, they were big in military culture. They were big in the biker world and in prisons. But in the music world,
there was no one
more heavily tattooed than hardcore people.
Yeah.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And now, and you're right, becoming heavily tattooed became very popular. I don't know how it came about, but it happened. Same thing, like you said, with the moshing and the stage dive. You would only ever see that exclusively at a hardcore or punk show kind of thing. And then you started to see it at metal, and then you started to see it now at a pop show. You know, it could be like a boy band. And they're moshing. And so, it's crazy. And still people don't know what hardcore is. You know, that's the craziest part about it. They know about all these other elements, but they don't really know where it came from. They still don't realize the connection. I mean, the people that know, but not everyone else in the world, you know?
Yeah.
Всъщност, освен че всички разбрахме, че Freddie Madball и Alexander Last Hope всъщност харесват мелодичните песни на Maroon 5.
Така ли?
Да, казах ти, че ти се превеждаш като луд, защото ти започна. Всъщност, говорихме, ти започна с това, че много от нещата в различни направления на съвременната музика и култура практически са родени именно в хардкора.
В хардкор панк сцената, да. Като, например, понятието stage diving, moshing и така нататък, неща, които на времето сме виждали, са били елементи изключително и само от тази хардкор панк култура. Впоследствие стават част от метал света, а в днешни дни може да видим такива елементи дори в поп и рок музиката, в масовата култура.
Също и с татуировките.
Да, също нещо важи, например, и за татуировките, и за много други неща, но стана дума за татуировките.
За твоето детство.
Аз споменах един факт от моето детство, когато бях на, може би, 10-11 години и края на 80-те в ръцете ми попадна едно метал списание, мисля, че беше Metal Hammer. Не бях чувал за хардкор музика, за хардкор култура. Не знаех какво пише в него, защото беше на немски, но имаше там една статия за Нью-Йорк хардкор, очевидно. И в нея имаше две снимки, съответно на Cro-Mags и на Gnostic Front. И това беше първият път, в който видях не само музиканти, но въобще хора, тежко татуирани хора, т.е. с ръкави и така нататък. И тогава ужасно много се впечатлих.
Точно така е, Алекс, каза той. Благодаря ти, че задаваш точните въпроси и разказа за това наистина как днес можеш да видиш дори бойбанди, които са татуирани, имат цели ръкави, а преди това е било затворено само в света на моторджиите, на затворниците, моряците и така нататък.
Да. Но само исках да, всъщност, въпросът ми беше дали той, Фреди, и не само той като личност, но и въобще неговото обкръжение се чувстват като трендсетери. Хора, mm-hmm. които
налагат модите.
Модите.
Точно така. А между другото, тук се сещам, че докато той толкова дълго говореше, се сетих, че пък пропуснахме да преведем едни негови много интересни думи по-рано днес. В това, че всъщност обаче момчета от хардкор сферата, от хардкор средите са вече навсякъде. Можеш да ги видиш политици, нали, музиканти, ясно, но също така
актьори.
Хардкор хората са навсякъде, има дори и в затвора. Предлагам обаче все пак да поговорим сега за музика и за албума. Нали?
Всъщност не преведахме всичко за татуировките.
Кажи.
Той всъщност каза да, по-скоро се чувствам така. честно казано, в началото това въобще не ми правеше впечатление и не съм си мислил за тези, по тези въпроси, но наистина ти си прав. В момента, дори когато виждаме групи като Maroon 5 или много други, които абсолютно нямат нищо общо с, по никакъв начин, не само с хардкор и панк музиката, но въобще с екстремната музика и култура.
Но изглеждат се едно са.
А изглеждат така. Нали, малко е странно, когато ти си част от една такава култура, а никой не знае за нея, но в същия момент тези никой, които не знаят, например, тежко татуирани и въобще има много други елементи от тези култури, за които те не знаят, които ги ембрейсват. Как се казва на български?
Прегръщат.
Да.
Предлагам наистина да се върнем сега към албума.
Okay, Freddy, let's go back to the new record.
Питай го, коя е любимата му песен.
Yeah, what's your favorite song of the new record?
My favorite song?
Yeah.
Well, one of them is Rev Up, that we're about to drop a video for in the beginning of June. We're going to drop a video for a song called Rev Up, the first official video.
Yeah.
I mean, Old Fashioned was a music, a lyric video, but I don't really consider it like the first single because it was not an actual video. It was more just like a like a little taste,
yeah.
You know, just kind of like a little setup song. And it's not too far removed from what we do, but it is a cool track, and I like it, all the sentiment behind it. But Rev Up is a little bit of a different song. It's still a hardcore song, but it's a little different. And that's going to be the next one that dropped as a video, and that's got to be up on the list of one of my favorites. Also, the one with Tim, I really like that song about the fog.
Yeah.
Because it's different for us. And it was a fun song to do, and he jumped on the verse and he added his element to it, and it was cool, man.
That's my personal favorite song, and also we got.
Oh great, Alex! Yeah. Thank you, man. Yeah. It's my favorite too, man. But you know, when I say that, everybody's like, "Really? This song?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's my favorite one of the whole record."
Yeah, you know. And you got also the cool song with Ice-T, which is really really cool. How
that's a cool one as well.
How did he came up in ended up on the record?
Well, that one again was another thing where like we had this song and we were like, I was like, man, you know who would be cool for this song? Ice-T. Like I pictured his voice on the song for some reason, and I remembered that I had met him. I had met him a couple times, but I met him for the second time in New York when Madball opened up for Body Count. At the Gramercy, and I remember he left an impression on me because he came to me, to us, he came to our room and knocked on the door, and he was like, yo, what's up guys, yo, much respect for New York Hardcore, much respect for Madball, I listen to you guys,
it's a lower voice though,
New York Hardcore. This is Ice-T talking to me, not a New York Hardcore band, but we always said we have a very close relation to that. We can relate to what you guys do. This is Ice-T telling me this. So, there's an impression on me. I was like, yo, this guy's humble. This guy's cool, you know? And he shows a lot of respect. So, when I did this song, I said, hey, let me reach out to Ice-T. And I didn't have his number, but Jamie from Hatebreed had his number. And he got us in touch. And we spoke, and he was all about it, man. You know, he couldn't come to the actual studio because of his schedule, because of our schedule, too.
Yeah.
But he went to a studio and recorded it. And not only did he record it, he paid the studio guy and didn't want any money from me.
Wow.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. This is classy stuff. This is stories that you don't hear about with a lot of people. You know, I offered him money. He said, nah, man, this is respect. This is out of love.
That's really cool.
And he did it. And then I talked to the studio guy who also happened to be randomly by some crazy chance. He happened to be a hardcore kid. And he said, hey, I love the song, blah, blah, blah. And I said, hey, did he give you any money? Because I won't pay for it. He goes, no, he already took care of me, man. Don't worry about it. He doesn't want any money.
That's amazing.
You know?
That's amazing to hear.
That's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. These are the stories I'm talking about. This is not like, oh, I bet you Ice-T got $10,000 to record. We don't even have that kind of money anyways. But you know, it's like, these are the things that I want people to know, because this is how we operate, and we only connect with real people, you know, like this is what we do, you know?
Yeah, that's a really, really cool story.
Yeah, really amazing. Страхотна история, между другото. Аз имах друго мнение за Ice-T. И да се върнем към любимите му песни в албума. Едната се оказа, че и на теб ти е любима.
Да, но първо първата му любима е вероятно Revap, към която трябва да излезе съвсем скоро.
Е, сега в началото на юни.
Да, съвсем скоро видео. Ако слушате това интервю в някои от неговите повторения, вече ти е излязло.
Вероятно.
След това споменай Old Fashioned, песен, която вече излезе преди албума като нещо като тизър за албума, като неофициално видео. И естествено песента с Тим Армстронг, която и аз споменах, че ми е любимата от албума. Оказа се, че на него много любима.
Гаджета! И всъщност интересният момент е след това говорихме за това как се е случило
гостоучастието на Ice-T.
Той всъщност не е бил по едно и също време с тях в студиото, защото графиците и на Ice-T и на Madball не са могли да съвпаднат. Всъщност те се познават от отдавна, още когато Madball са откривали за Body Count в Нью Йорк, но Фреди не му е имал телефона на Ice-T, защото някак си е представил точно гласа на Ice-T в това парче. Взел е личния мобилен номер на рапера от Jamie от Hatebreed.
Да, по-скоро самия Jamie Jazz се обадил на Ice-T, защото те, между другото, имат доста близки отношения в музикално естество, имат заедно на едно и две парчета. Както и да е, Jamie Jazz се обажда на Ice-T и естествено Ice-T веднага се съгласява да участва в този нов албум на Madball. Абсолютно без
никакви пари. Става дума за уважение, става дума за любов.
Нещо, което трябва да добавим в този контекст е, че в този свят, по принцип, особено при по-големите групи и по-големите лейбъли, това е съвсем нормално, гост участието да се заплаща.
Разбира се, но той беше много скромен и пълен с уважение, както каза Фреди, и добави, че дори Ice-T е бил платил на момчето в студиото, което е записало неговия глас.
Платил си е, за да участва в албума на Madball.
Да, което всъщност е страхотно. И виждам, че може би е време за последния въпрос.
Let's wrap this up with a question that I think you heard this before, but it's very different from anything else. If you have to spend the rest of your life in an abandoned island and you have to choose 3 records until the end of your life.
Books, I would say.
3 records. What will you choose?
3 records for the rest of my life?
Yeah.
I'm sorry to all the people out there in the world, but they probably wouldn't be a hardcore record.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not that I don't love hardcore. I love hardcore immensely. It's a huge part of my life. But I don't know that I would want to be on an island just listening to a hardcore record all the time.
For the rest of your life.
The Heartbreakers, Tom Petty. Yeah. Maybe like a Johnny Cash greatest hits. And then maybe like Bob Marley, but like the Lee Scratch Perry era, not like the popular stuff that everybody always hears on the radio now, like before that, like pre that era.
The early Bob Marley.
You know,
stuff.
Like the really cool, like the Soul Rebels and all that, you know, those older songs that are like really, really good Bob Marley music. But I could sit with those records right there. And I would probably pick a hip-hop record too, man, because I'm an old-school hip-hop head. But which record, I don't know.
Maybe Nas?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, Freddy, thank you very much for your time. Hopefully we see each other. Yeah, we see each other very soon. And hopefully we see you guys here in Sofia very soon.
Yeah, we'll be to Sofia, man. You know it's gonna be. We love going there. It's probably one of our favorite cities in all of Europe, not just Eastern Europe, man. So we'll be there soon.
Yeah, man.
Alex, I always see you, Alex. You know. So we'll talk soon, brother.
See you, brother. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you, guys, for the interview. Thank you very much.
Cheers, man.
Support.
Бай-бай!
Бай!
Страхотно! Всъщност Фреди каза, че София му е най-любимия град в Европа, не само в Източна Европа, а на целия континент. Въпросът беше, ако трябва да прекара остатъка от живота си на...
Изоставен остров.
Изоставен самотен остров. Каква музика ще вземе? Той какво каза?
Три албума, които би взел със себе си, за да слуша до края на...
Хитро не чу, когато го попитах, може би и за книги. Въпросът. Каза, няма, може би ще се изненадате, но няма да взема хардкор, не защото не обичам хардкора, но той така или иначе в главата ми.
Аз добавих отново до края на живота ти.
Да, абсолютно американска селекция на Фреди. Започна с Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, може би, каза той, някакъв greatest hit. След това квинтесенцията на Джоди Кеш и Боб Марли, но не тези популярни по-ранни, неща, които пускате вие там по радио Тангра Мега Рока, истинските ранните неща от преди това. И още нещо каза той. А, да.
Да, ще си вземе и един хип-хоп албум, тъй като той е дългогодишен, голям хип-хоп фен, но не успя да назове конкретен албум, тъй като вероятно му е трудно. Между другото, този последен въпрос ми хрумна не случайно. Аз съм бил на доста турнета заедно с Madball и съм прекарвал много време с тях в различни интересни беседи и имаше един момент, в който така на шега си го задавахме този въпрос, ако попаднеш на безлюден остров и трябва да избираш музика, филми, с които да прекараш остатъка от живота си. Условието тогава беше, когато говорим за музика, да не избираме спорни албуми, т.е. да избираме конкретни албуми. Така в крайна сметка ставаше по-интересно. Именно заради това споменах, че този въпрос вероятно го е чувал неведнъж. Но всъщност това е по-скоро една допълнителна информация от кухнята. Мисля, че все пак отговорът му беше доста задоволителен.